greetings and welcome to the Mr. Science Show, the podcast where science meets pop culture. My name is Mark West and our website, www.mrscienceshow.com. This week, we're bringing you two correlations of the week, or as we like to call them,
correlation of the week.
These are our regular segments dedicated to the weird and wonderful studies that occur out there in the scientific world and to that notion of correlation versus causality. What really is the cause of some of these weird and wonderful relationships that are published in the media? Let's hop straight to it. And this week on Correlation of the Week, or as we like to call it,
Correlation of the Week,
we have a study that has found a correlation between someone's liberal views and whether they're an atheist and intelligence. Now, some people might have thought this for a while. A recent study, Why Liberals and Atheists Are More Intelligent, published in Social Psychology Quarterly, has shown that more intelligent people are statistically significantly more likely to exhibit behaviours that have not been shaped by our evolutionary history. Specifically, Satoshi Kanazawa from the London School of Economics and Political Science postulates that liberalism, not to be confused with the Australian Liberal Party, a socially conservative political party, and atheism correlate with higher intelligence. Sexual exclusivity for men, but not women, is also a sign of higher intelligence. According to Kanazawa's theory, more intelligent people are more likely to adopt evolutionarily novel behaviours than less intelligent people. Evolutionarily novel values are those that humans are not biologically designed to have. The theory is known as the Savanna-IQ interaction hypothesis. The Savanna principle is the notion that the human brain was moulded through natural selection in an environment that is drastically different to the world in which we currently live. This means that it has difficulty comprehending and dealing with situations that did not exist in the ancestral environment, that is, on the savanna. An example of this is that our ancestors, in a time of scarce resource, craved sugary and fatty foods. Those who ate more of these foods at that time lived longer and were healthier than those who didn't. In today's environment, where such foods are plentiful, this craving brings on health problems. The Savanna-IQ interaction hypothesis postulates that intelligence evolved to deal with novel problems, problems whose solutions evolution had not hardwired into us. More intelligent individuals can better deal with new situations than less intelligent individuals. However, both can deal equally well with evolutionarily familiar situations. Kanazawa said, "General intelligence, the ability to think and reason, endowed our ancestors with advantages in solving evolutionarily novel problems, for which they did not have innate solutions. As a result, more intelligent people are more likely to recognize and understand such novel entities and situations than less intelligent people, and some of these entities and situations are preferences, values, and lifestyles." Kanazawa argues that humans are evolutionarily designed to be conservative and to care mostly about their family, those who have similar genes. Caring for unrelated strangers, that is, being liberal, is evolutionarily novel. This theory is backed by the National Longitude Study of Adolescent Health, which found that young adults who identify themselves as very liberal have an average IQ of 106, while those who identify themselves as very conservative have an average IQ of 95. Kanazawa also argues that religion arose because of our desire to look for the cause of events and to ascribe meaning and intention to natural phenomena. Humans are innately paranoid and extremely vigilant when it comes to self-protection. This was an evolutionary benefit for human preservation on the dangerous savanna. The survey showed that young adults who identify themselves as not at all religious have an average IQ of 103, while those who identify themselves as very religious have an average IQ of 97. Kanazawa said, "Humans are evolutionarily designed to be paranoid, and they believe in God because they are paranoid. So more intelligent children are more likely to grow up to go against their natural evolutionary tendency to believe in God, and they become atheists." But what about
sex?
Throughout evolutionary history, It is theorized that men have been mildly polygamous in order to increase their chance of producing offspring, whilst women have generally been monogamous, possibly due to the fact that a 9-month pregnancy means that having multiple partners does not increase the chance of producing offspring. Being sexually exclusive is evolutionarily novel for men, but not for women. Kanizawa's theory therefore predicts that more intelligent men are more likely to remain sexually exclusive, that is, monogamous, than less intelligent men. However, this does not hold for women. Again, the survey data supported this theory. But he also found that intelligence does not correlate with the very oldest evolutionary values. One finding was that more intelligent people are no more or less likely to value such evolutionarily familiar ideas such as marriage, family, children, and friends. So congratulations, Satoshi Kanizawa, for finding that liberalism is correlated with intelligence. You have been awarded
Correlation of the Week.
Our second correlation of the week relates cocaine overdoses to the weather. So next time you're heading for a big, expensive Larry night out, perhaps you're heading out for some of this. Or perhaps you're headed out for some of this. Make sure you check the temperature. The paper, Ambient Temperature and the Risk of Death from Accidental Drug Overdose in New York City, 1990-2006, published in the journal Addiction, has found that there is a significant correlation between deaths due to accidental cocaine overdose and the temperature. Using New York City mortality data from 1990 to 2006 and temperature data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, the researchers found that accidental deaths due to cocaine overdose in New York City rose significantly when the average weekly temperature passed 24 degrees Celsius. The study showed no difference in the number of drug overdoses when the average weekly temperature was between minus 10 and 24 degrees. However, above 24 degrees Celsius, there were 0.25 more drug overdoses per million residents per week for every 2 degrees increase. For New York City, this means that at least 2 more people per week will die of a cocaine overdose for each 2 degree rise in temperature above 24 degrees Celsius. There were approximately 7 weeks a year between 1990 and 2006 that had an average weekly temperature of over 24 in New York City. Cocaine-related overdose deaths increase as the ambient temperature rises because cocaine increases the core body temperature, impairs the cardiovascular system's ability to cool the body, and decreases the sense of heat-related discomfort that ordinarily motivates people to avoid becoming overheated. Cocaine users who become overheated, hyperthermic, can overdose on lower amounts of cocaine because their bodies are under more stress. Keep this in mind next time you're having a stressful, big, expensive, Larry night out. And that's all we've got time for on this week's edition of the podcast. Our website, www.mrscienceshow.com, and I'd be interested in any comments that you have on these correlations. I've recently read a number of interesting comments about the atheism-intelligence correlation, pondering the question of does one really cause the other, or are there other factors at work that may influence both intelligence and your tendency to be an atheist? And this is what Correlation of the Week is about, trying to uncover these hidden parameters. So get over to our website, www.mrscienceshow.com, and leave any comments you like. You can engage with me on Twitter, you can write me an email, you can download our entire back catalogue of over 100 podcast episodes, should you so desire. It's all on the website. My name is Mark West. Thanks again for joining me on the podcast where science meets pop culture.